Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Hard-edged, hard-nosed, hard to beat.
Where are you coming from in this one?
Your 100% essential download.
Jim White and Simon Jordan.
You let this get out of control.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Hello and thanks for downloading Outspoken, the podcast that brings you the very best of our daily TalkSport show. Arsenal Invincible Martin Keown joined myself and Simon Jordan to reflect on success for Manchester United on Sunday as they overcame Newcastle at Wembley. Good morning, everybody. It is Monday morning and he is back, Mr. Simon Jordan.
Morning.
How do I find you?
You find me in my usual sort of sick note state, having come back from somewhere with the lurgy. But I'm okay. I'm all right. Went away feeling unwell. Came back feeling unwell. The best I felt all week was on a flight coming back last night. I'm like a dark cloud, aren't I? Like Eeyore.
Not at all.
So he's
welcome
just looking
by
for a bit of sympathy, though.
Is no, he, not
he's turning
get any.
It around a bit, isn't he?
Is he due any sympathy, Martin?
He's had his flip flops out on the beach. He's come back, and then he's like, he's turned it around. Oh no, I've not been well.
You're going to get no sympathy in here, my boy.
Look at the suntan on him.
Let me tell you, I couldn't move in Wembley for fans of Manchester United and Newcastle United asking me, A, how you were, and B, when you were coming back.
Must have been some spectacle yesterday.
Liam, on the train coming back from Wembley Central. Morning, Liam. He said to me, Wembley Park, I should say, before you go anywhere, Jim, put it to him, does Ten Hag's suit fit him now?
Yeah.
Well, does it?
Okay.
He's done all right,
seems
hasn't he?
To, doesn't he? He's grown into it, absolutely. Moments in time. I think it was right to opine on at that particular time when you're getting your head handed to you by Brentford and you're getting your head handed to you by Brighton at the beginning of the season. It doesn't look particularly good, but things change. And if you don't change with things and you stay with the same opinion, I'd be a fool. So, of course, he's in the right groove now, is he? On the right direction. Still a long way to go for Man United, though.
Still a long way to go. Martin, good morning to you, mate. I saw you in BT on Saturday and then you watched the game yesterday. Manchester United just had that bit more, I think.
Yeah, a bit more class. You have to hand it to Newcastle, though, that the supporters, their will to win was just phenomenal. But in the end, that extra bit of quality was there for United. Ruthless, weren't they, with their goals?
Yeah.
And then they shut up shop, and it was very difficult to break them down. But they certainly had a go at it, Newcastle.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, it was Manchester United's day. Both clubs had enormous support from their supporters yesterday. And the support was incredible. I just want to emphasise that, Martin. I was there from the very early stages of the afternoon, right through proceeding, Simon, to the very end. Along Wembley Way at the end, going back up to Wembley Park Station, they were all together. And they were all getting on, I have to say, which is testament to the Newcastle fans who were going home the losers. This was Eddie Howe and this was Erik ten Hag post-match.
It shows something silverware, that you are on a good pathway, you are in a good direction. It's one cup and it's February, but it shows we are in the right direction. So this has to be the inspiration, this has to be the motivation to keep going, to continue on this pathway and to improve. To not be happy, okay, happy, yeah, for 24 hours, but not be satisfied, because satisfaction, that leads to laziness. And when you are called lazy, you don't win any more games and you can't win trophies.
Dramatic change from last year where we were when we came in and took over, to now go into this type of situation. I'd much rather be, and it's here competing for cup competitions and trying to finish as high as we can in the league. So very positive situation for us to be in currently. And you're right, I think when the dust settles, I think we'll only look back at this experience positively, although that's hard to see now.
Simon, at the end of the day, it was Manchester United's day. Yeah. I would think now there is no doubt that Manchester United are indeed back. I spoke with the former chairman, Martin Edwards, at the end, and I said to him straight, you're coming up in the rails for everything. Is this really on? Are you in for more prizes? And Martin was like, yeah, it looks that way.
Yeah, I mean, you've got this strange season where you've got two sides that you never anticipated having the decline that they've got in Liverpool and Chelsea, that are affording Man United and other sides an easier run at it. You've seen these dawns before. You've seen Mourinho win a League Cup, and you've seen him win Europa League, and then all of a sudden it's come apart again. What you've got now is a culture inside the football club. They've got rid of Ronaldo, which I think was a very important thing to do. I think it changed the temperature and tone inside the building. I think Edward Wood leaving too has probably changed the dynamics as well. Ten Hag, the language that he uses is very blunt, very concise and very precise, and he seems to have them focused in the right direction. Now, whether that translates into Manchester United being able to win a Premier League, Manchester United being able to compete in the Champions League again. It's one thing winning the League Cup, another thing winning the FA Cup. It's an even a further thing by saying you win the Europa League. But when you're talking about Man United being back, you are talking about Manchester United winning the Premier League. Now, ask yourself, are they close to Manchester City? Are they close to Arsenal? Possibly they may well be, but I still think there's a journey they've got to go on. But what they've done is they've started in the right fashion. And I think it's encouraging. I think it's good for the Premier League too.
Do you know when a lot of people are raving about Manchester United, and the Man United fans are going to say, oh, that's typical Keown, you know, coming on here. But let's look at the League Cup. Let's look who they've beaten. So they beat Burnley at home. They've beaten Charlton at home. They've beaten Forest team, who were kind of like way bottom at the bottom of the table, really. Not the best of teams. And now they're champions. They've won the Carling Cup. So, Jim, people are now talking about quadruples and all sorts of things. Let's have a look at this in 6 weeks' time. Mm. If they keep winning like they are, no doubt they can really push for the title. And we can see we've got a difficult game against Manchester against West Ham.
Yeah, but what a story they've become, though, Martin. You cannot deny that. Manchester United have become a major story of significance.
After the first two games of the season, yes.
They've won the first trophy of the season. Yes. One in the bank.
No one
saw it coming, not even you.
No, I think those games are winnable, aren't they? Against Burnley, against Charlton, against Forest. And then everything went exceptionally well for them yesterday. But
I think Manchester United are looking at this, Martin. Every game is now winnable.
Yes, of course, because they've turned things around. They have a manager who knows what he wants. He's sending good messages to the players. The culture is changing. Rashford is irresistible now, right now, the form he's in. And they're a team, and they looked really together. The team spirit, there's leaders forming. You can see the character in the side, but it's only one trophy. It's only the League Cup, Jim.
Yeah.
So let's keep it in context.
I mean, let's be clear. Despite the constant carping of United fans, and I've no doubt they were singing Glazers out yesterday.
They were.
They have spent an inordinate amount of money. The story of the season, undoubtedly, is Arsenal. Arsenal are the story of the season. For him to have rebuilt this side and built it to a point where they're actually potentially going to win the Premier League. I think they might get nicked by Man City, but that's just me looking in my mind's eye thinking experience will trump the youth that Arsenal have got. But the team of the season for me are Arsenal. And the story of the season is Arsenal.
At this time.
The big noise in the Premier League is not League Cup, is who wins the Premier League. Man United were built in this era to win Premier Leagues. They haven't won a Premier League now for a third of the Premier League's existence, and that's in a straight line in 10 years.
Yeah,
so they've still got a way to go.
All we ever hear is winning trophies breeds a winning mentality.
But it didn't.
Manchester United have thrown down the gauntlet.
And that's fine, but it didn't post-Mourinho. They won the League Cup.
But this is different.
Maybe, but we know in football...
Do you know
that one thing
environment, isn't it, Simon? Because everything is... It just seems like everybody's really in tandem at the football club. It seems like the manager's got a really good relationship with the player. It seems like a guy actually you wouldn't mind working with. He's giving the players that... I don't say it's a Klopp situation, but he's certainly... I mean, the way he embraced the players afterwards, the relationship with them, there's a real closeness, togetherness.
And well, winning breeds that, doesn't
with it? With a medal around their necks, you know, they might take the steps they need. But I'm saying be cautious. Next 6 weeks, if they keep winning, then I think they can go after the title. But if not, then I think it's between Man City and Arsenal.
But they're not... I mean, let's be honest about it. Whilst they're doing... They're not a great side. They're a decent side. They're a good side. They're in good nick right now. They're in good form. But they're not an irresistible side. You don't look at them and go,
no, but they're
wow.
a results team, aren't they?
They're a results team right now.
But
now,
so many people are asking me to say to you, Martin, Rich is saying, Jim, say to Martin, can you not only beat what's in front of you? That's exactly what they're doing.
Well, of course, but it's favourable, wasn't it? So I'm just saying, you know, what have you had to do? 3-4 games and suddenly you've won a trophy. So they're going to cash in on that. And they're the sort of club to exploit that. And there's an aura now again, Jim, isn't there?
The
takeover is fantastic news. It seems to free up the fans to actually take part. I thought they were magnificent as well. Newcastle, I mean, incredible.
Oh, both sets of fans were magnificent. Yeah. I'll speak more on this in the next part, because yesterday behind the scenes, I ended up speaking to Newcastle executive Amanda Staveley. Very interesting words from her as to the optimism around Newcastle United at this time, even though they ended up losing yesterday. And you're right, Martin. Yesterday, there were a few renditions of "We want Glazers out." You'll probably see it was largely covered that Avram Glazer was there. I actually had a couple of words with him afterwards. What did he think of the game? I didn't record it. And he's like, "I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it." Simon, it's as if they're shutting out the noise. It's as if they don't hear it, the Glazers. He comes here yesterday, yep, watches it with a smile on his face, leaves with a smile on his face, as if it hasn't even got to him.
So would you, if you bought a football club for 200 million quid and people talking about it being sold for 6 billion? You'd be sat there with a big grin like a demented Cheshire cat on your face. You'd be sat there with the fact of the matter is the team's winning the games again. You're back into a situation, you know, where you've got a manager in play and you've got your football club arguably being available to be bought for £6 billion when you pay 200 million quid for it.
But would it not get to you if you knew that your very own fans, most of them, detest you?
But they're not his fans. If he was to turn around and say that they were his fans, it'd be an outrage to say, "You narcissistic swine, it's not your fans at all. It's the fans of the football club and the players and the manager and everybody but you."
Yeah.
The bottom line is the background noise of Glazers, they don't care about it. They do not care about it. You're not moved. You know, like this woman wasn't for turning. These people, these owners aren't for getting out.
Welcome to the Coliseum of Confrontation. Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Oh boy, Mr. Jordan might be back alongside Martin Keown, but the two of you are getting it on the neck from Manchester United fans. There's Tom Gale. Martin Keown couldn't be any more bitter towards us if he tried. You're not having it that Manchester United are moving and shaking in the right direction, Martin?
No, I said let's give it time. Let's give it 6 weeks. If they keep winning as they are, then they might well win the title.
Mm.
Because they have been quite magnificent.
I think they've done brilliantly well.
Be cautious.
I think they've done brilliantly well, but let's not lose sight of the fact that it's because they've been so poor over the last 3 years that they've knocked all the expectation out of their own fan groups and ultimately out of the media. When we've sat there looking at Man United going, how bad do you have to be? How bad are you going to get? You're still spending hundreds of millions of pounds. All we listen is Man United fans coming on telling everyone how much they hate Glazers, and their team on the pitch haven't been particularly good. So now you've won a League Cup. Fantastic. I hope it's a launch pad, because I happen to think the United are the poster boys of the Premier League, and a vibrant Man United, I think, is good for the Premier League full stop.
Here's Nick, another Manchester United fan. I implore everyone to turn on TalkSport right now. Listen to Martin Keown and Simon Jordan crying about yesterday's win. Bitter tears from them. United were best.
Jim, in their pomp, They even pulled out of the FA Cup, Manchester United, looking for bigger prizes. So, you know, it's stepping stones, isn't it, to rebuild this football club.
This is it.
And now suddenly the League Cup is they're desperate
in
to win
Mecca,
it.
Isn't it? Some people are very feeble-minded, aren't they? No one's crying. We're quite happy for Man United to have won the first trophy of the season. And we're quite appreciative of the work that Ten Hag's done. But this is a swallow. It's not a summer.
But they are rumbling in the background. There's another. Have you forgotten?
Rumbling.
That United have just beaten the runaway leaders of La Liga over two legs.
And that was very impressive.
Coming from behind in both games. How'd you like that, Martin Keown?
Very impressive.
Well, they're going for it.
Very impressive. And I applaud what their manager's done. As you know, I tried to be impartial.
And, Objective, balanced, fair.
And I think I am generally, and I think the game needs a good Manchester United team to be up and at their very best.
Fair enough. What about Newcastle? What a support they had! So many of them in Trafalgar Square on Saturday night, the supporters, and then they converge on Wembley yesterday, and they made it a special, special atmosphere and occasion. But Newcastle lost this game by 2-0. Post-match, I got up close to Newcastle executive Amanda Staveley, and her tone was one of optimism and humility.
Do you know, I was so proud of all of the fans, everybody, and I was crying, and my son was crying, we're all crying. But what was amazing, at 2-0 down, we were flags going, but the passion and everybody, everybody's taken us on this journey. We will win the Carabao Cup, we will win the FA Cup, we will win the Champions League, and we will win the Premier League. But we really, this is all about the amazing fans that have taken us on this journey. And we're just honoured and humbled, and feel very privileged to help run Newcastle United.
How did you feel when you looked at the numbers of those Newcastle fans there today?
Staggered. Really staggered. I was just in awe. I knew it would be amazing. I'm sorry, I really feel bad, because I so wanted a win, because I wanted them to have some silverware. You know, it was so important. But we will get there. And the lads played really well. It was a tough game. It was tough luck. Actually, they played really well. and I'm proud of all of the fans. I'm hugely proud of everybody today.
And those fans, Amanda, you must feel it. They have immense faith in you.
We don't really deserve the support we have, I always feel. As owners, we're very, very humbled by what's happened today. And I know Yas has been here with me, and we're just so excited that we got to come, and the scenes in Trafalgar Square last night, everything. But you know what? Next time, we will get there.
What about Amanda Staveley and the ownership at Newcastle now, Simon? Yeah. Are you having them more? Amanda Staveley has gone from someone that didn't particularly impress you to now seriously impress you, right?
Well, the one thing that they do deserve is all the plaudits, because without their ownership of this football club and their money, the football club would still be in a condition where the fans were unhappy with Mike Ashley and they would feel that they were going nowhere. Does that mean I like the ownership model? Does it mean I admire any more than I start? Not particularly. I think they've done what they anticipated that they would do. And I don't understand this. It's a PR spin. You knew you were buying a football club, that if you put it into a League Cup final, you would inundate London. So let's have less, dial down the fake humility and look at the reality of what you've got there. You've got.
I don't think it's fake humility, to
well,
be fair.
Well, I think it's ridiculous to turn around and say you didn't expect. If I went and bought Newcastle and set the town on fire, I knew that Newcastle getting to a cup final, London would be inundated. Right, because that's what you've got. You've got this remarkable fan base.
Is there anything wrong in her congratulating them for meeting the truth?
No, absolutely. I think it's wonderful PR spin, but I do think ultimately that the...
Oh, it's not PR spin.
Well, I think it is. Well, okay.
It's emotional. She's got emotional at the end. And the fans would never have heard that, would they, under Mike Ashley, that we don't really deserve the fans. Their support is so good. And I think that's how
heartfelt, it's preposterous rubbish, because the one thing they do deserve, that ownership model... absolutely deserves those fans being behind them. Because you walk in a football club, you spend more money in that football club in 1 year than Mike Ashley spent in probably five. You've given it a feel-good factor. You've bought it off the tyrant. The one thing that you do deserve is an absolute supporting fan base. You put it into a cup final.
Yeah, you should never take that for granted. And she's certainly not taking that for granted.
That's not taking it for granted.
I think she's giving them a bit back here and saying, look,
no one's suggesting they're taking it for granted. But let's get past the sentimental rubbish and look at the reality of what you've got here.
Well,
you've got
a football club. But when Ashley was there, Martin's right. There wasn't this connection between fans and owners. Now there is.
Because I tell you for why, and you're not going to like the answer to this, because it's owner's job to give everything that the fans want. And if you do not, then you're the devil incarnate. Now, currently, these current owners are giving the fans everything they want. They're spending hundreds of millions of pounds on footballers. They're making sure that the centre of the focus is the fans. They're giving them everything they want.
And they back the team.
So they're entitled.
Ashley didn't. Back the team.
Well, again, they're backing the team, but there'll come a point where there's a disconnect somewhere along the line. But right now, it's entirely appropriate that Amanda Staveley is patted on the back, that the appointments that have been made by her and others are patted on the back. And I would expect, if you cannot be behind what they're doing now, when in God's name would you be behind it?
What do you think of what she said, though? We'll be back and we will win the Carabao Cup, the FA Cup, the Premier League and the Champions League. She's now said it. She's out there saying it. Now, that's what they've got their sights set on.
But that's what you should be saying if you're an ambitious owner.
The chairman said to me yesterday, we're already at the next level.
Well, that's what you should be saying. But there is a vast difference between being able to compete in the League Cup and start a season very well and overtake Manchester City. That's a vast difference. Manchester City are 15 years ahead of Newcastle. You've got an independent regulator coming into football, that's going to control finances. You've got new governance coming in. It'd be interesting to see if they're going to be able to spend. Eddie Howe's made a big deal of how much they can and can't spend and told everybody they can't spend. So if they're not going to spend £200 or £300 million a season, or £150 million or £200 million every single season because they can't, then there's going to be a difficulty. But I do like the fact. I think it's wonderful that she turns around and says that they're going to go after all these things.
Jim, I think she's just trying to reaffirm the belief and the dream and plan that they have at that football club. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, what is wrong
with
that?
Whether they go on and do it, it remains to be seen.
Yeah.
But that is a strong statement from
because you'll be judged by it. Because the thing that's wrong with this is that people will then judge you by it. And if you don't achieve it, they'll hoist you by that particular petard. But I think it's ambition, and she's right to be ambitious.
After what we saw at Wembley, actually, I feel this is more the relevant question. Could Manchester United versus Newcastle United become the Premier League's next best rivalry?
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Download, stand well back, listen.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Martin Keown, Manchester United winning. You're coming in for it from United fans, Martin. I have to say, surely winning the first trophy of the season is a significant step for any football club.
If it's important, yes, of course. And you that level,
well, yesterday was important.
Your level of confidence, you've got a medal around your neck. You've got important games coming up. I'm just looking at the league title.
You'd be singing like a demented cuckoo. I'm looking, Arsenal now.
I'm looking now at the games coming up. They've got Liverpool to play, Jim. They have to go to Newcastle as well, actually. That game could be significant. You talk about that being a fixture coming up in the next years to come, whether it's important. They play Brentford as well at home. Useful games for them. So, I mean, look, they are on the coattails, aren't they, of Man City and Arsenal right now. And that, we'll have to see if they go on and do it. I don't think they will do it.
Do what?
I don't think they'll win the league this year. I think it's too soon for them. But what it does show us with Ten Hag, that they are going to be in the running for things because he gets things right.
Yeah, but precisely. But Martin, quickly, could you ever have thought in the other side of the year there that you'd ever be talking in these terms about Manchester United coming up in the rails and possibly winning the Premier League? Nobody would have thought that.
No, but the size of the club and their expenditure and the quality of the player that are there, Jim. I mean, if you think about when he went in there were some good players, wasn't there? And you talked about Mourinho and the Pogba story never went away. There always was an argument. He didn't like the training ground. He didn't like the players. He didn't like the medical staff. This man seems to have gone in and worked with what he's got and made the best of it. And they're doing exceptionally well.
Conventional wisdom is being thrown out of the basket at this moment in time. Who would have picked Arsenal to be top of the league? Who would have picked Newcastle to be fifth? Who would have picked Fulham to be sixth? Who would have picked Liverpool to be seventh? Who would have picked Chelsea to be tenth? None of these picks would have been part and parcel of people's stable diet. So you've got an opportunity. Yeah. And what we're doing is we're comparing Man United's progress with a strange Premier League. We'll see. It's a great win. It's great for Newcastle. If you'd have asked me who I wanted to win that cup final, because this won't appeal to the narrative or the whining Newcastle fans that think I've got a problem with them, I actually wanted Newcastle to win. Because I thought it would be great for them. A great shot in the arm. Man United have won many things. Newcastle have won nothing for years.
Should Newcastle fans feel honoured about that?
No, but they should redirect their narrative of every time you say something that's not entirely positive as being something of vilification isn't true.
We know there are a bunch of bids in for Manchester United. I looked at Avram Glazer, who surprised everybody by pitching up at the game yesterday. And he wandered about very briefly at the end of the game, where I was in the suite I was in, a very broad grin in his face, and told me he really enjoyed the game. But Simon, will the storylines of ownerships lead to a future Middle East face-off, with the backdrop being Saudi Arabia, Newcastle United, against Qatar-owned Manchester United? Do you predict that is a change we're going to foresee?
Well, they're not the leading lights in the Premier League. So right now, no, I don't. I think you've got other Middle Eastern money that might be more prevalent, i.e. Manchester City. The tragedy is that we've got these constant situations in our league where our league's being bought by ownership models that I prefer not to be there, but we're in a globalised world. These are the rules. That's the nature of the beast. We get on with it. Look, we've got two football clubs. One of them is an iconic football club in the world. One of them is an iconic football club in Newcastle. We'll see if one of them is going to become a far bigger club than just in its own fan base and start to really punch into a situation where...
It's never going to be about just two clubs, is it? When you look at Chelsea, what they've spent, Jim, and Man City, of course, as well. I mean, Arsenal emerging, Spurs. Whew, I mean, they'd be a good proposition if somebody bought them, wouldn't they? So that could happen. Who knows? But Liverpool again. I mean, that's not clear what's going to happen there. Whether that's going to be a part buyout or a shared ownership.
But they've made it clear. They couldn't be more clearer. John Henry couldn't have written it unless he'd written it in blood more clearer. I'm not selling the football club.
And he's not selling the football club.
Well, it was initially for sale, no?
The rumours abound that Liverpool might have been for sale, but they're now simply and explicitly in the business of raising a bit more capital for the FSG group. They don't spend money. The Boston Celtics are the lowest spending team in the franchises. Yeah. There's an interesting dynamic with FSG going on.
But Liverpool will need to spend.
The chairman of Newcastle told me yesterday, Sammy, he feels that they're already at the next stage, Newcastle United. Newcastle United fans, undoubtedly, to a man, to a woman, have bought into what they're doing.
Look at
that message that's just come in, Simon, incidentally. If these owners told me it was Tuesday today, I'd believe them. They've not just transformed a football club, they've transformed a city.
Yeah, these fans
are very proud of the club they've got, the city they come from, and what now might happen.
Unarguably so. And if you've spent 14 years in a desert, you will drink at any oasis. We will see if they're able to translate this huge wealth that we understand behind their state ownership into a football club that wins things and takes it away from Manchester City, takes it away from Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea, Tottenham, and whoever else is in the mix, Manchester United, then it will be a remarkable achievement. I think it will be an even bigger, more remarkable achievement than Manchester City. If they do it, if they come into the Premier League and they do anything vaguely resembling what Man City's money has enabled them to do, I think it'll be a remarkable achievement.
I think it's remarkable we're even talking about it when you think where they were after 10, 11 games on the start of last season, Jim.
Yeah.
It's a remarkable transformation.
They're top six disruptors.
And who's to bet against it? They couldn't continue to progress and to win trophies, but that is the next step, of course, isn't
it?
Can they finally win a trophy?
Yeah. I mean, put it this way, Simon. You'd rather be a Newcastle United fan this morning looking around the place than a Chelsea fan this morning looking around the place. Chelsea fans are totally bewildered as to what's going on at the football club after all the hoo-ha of the new ownership coming in and all the promise of all these new players coming in the transfer window. Newcastle United pitched up yesterday. This is the backing we've got. We are the tribe that follow them.
The complete opposite of what Newcastle did. Crazy expenditure.
Yeah.
They also got rid of Tuchel. Now you're looking at the wisdom of that.
Again, let's look at the balancing act, right? Newcastle have come. We just made an example of Manchester United and the fact that people are getting carried away with Man United winning a League Cup. Wonderful, fantastic. Here you go. You're on your way, right? Still got a long way to go. That's because people had got such a point. If you'd have said this 3 years ago, Man United have won a League Cup, everyone would have gone, yeah. And that tells you perhaps how far they've fallen. Now, Newcastle have started from a very low position with very little expectation and a totally disenfranchised fan base. In through the door walks a new ownership model, and in comes a new opportunity for the fans to be behind the club, and they're on their way to something. What that something is remains to be seen. So I think it's silly comparing Chelsea and Newcastle because these are moments in time. That's all they are, moments in time. And we will see where these two football clubs land in a year's time. We'll see if Chelsea are still in the doldrums, Jack Graham Potter still in situ, and everyone's still criticising the owner for spending ridiculous amounts of money, or Newcastle are doing. And I don't know what the next stage is. What they're already at the next stage. What was the next stage?
Of course, challenging for as many honours as you can.
When they came in the door, they were getting relegated. So the next stage was to not get relegated.
Right.
They've moved past that because they've spent money wisely. They brought in players. We will see whether Newcastle can lay a glove on winning something. They got close yesterday by getting to a final.
It's remarkable, isn't it, how quickly things change when you look at, was it 2 wins in 16 for Chelsea? They're only 10 points above relegation.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were the team, weren't they, that were up there top four every year.
Yeah.
And Newcastle have done the reverse.
Yeah. I mean, the two big questions there, Simon, if you want, comparing Chelsea to Newcastle, are Chelsea gone for a considerable period of time? Probably not.
No.
Will Newcastle sustain this newfound strength and challenge that they've managed to bring about?
I really like Newcastle as a football team.
It's more than a moment in time.
I really think they're an interesting side to watch. I think there's so much about them that's right. But I still think we have lots of questions to ask about the sustainability of a football club that's coming into a division that's got some very unique forces in there.
But they've not wasted a penny,
Chris Wood wasn't a great spend, was it?
He served a purpose,
fine,
didn't he?
But, you know, we're talking about
Maybe took a player from Burnley that actually could have gone down.
Maybe.
You know, they could have gone down instead of.
Maybe. We'll never know. But the bottom line is Newcastle, for me, have got lots to do. But it's very interesting to have them in the conversation. I'm not interested because of the ownership model. I'm interested because it's a great football club. And despite the fact that every now and again I don't fall on my sword with great sentimentality, doesn't mean that I don't think that Newcastle were a club to be reckoned with.
No, but you constantly refer to them as a very big club in Newcastle.
Because they are.
But that doesn't go down well with them because it doesn't show them respect.
On what basis? Who says I have to respect what they do?
Very significant force in the Premier League, in English football.
Respect isn't cloying sentimental tripe. Respect is based upon substance. I spent my entire time listening to Freddie Shepherd for years telling me what an enormous football club was. Whilst I was in Spain, I think Newcastle played Seville, and no one in Seville had ever heard of Newcastle. So let's be with due respect. Let's get some context.
Who said that?
They were a big club in Newcastle. Where else are they a big club? Where else? Please, I don't care who gets upset by it. Where else, Martin? Where else are Newcastle a big club?
Well, you tell me. Let's get people to ring
you're
in.
You're part of the sentimental tripe.
Personally, where are
Newcastle a big club?
I think it's a tremendous
don't
hot.
Don't play to the gallery.
It's a tremendous where hotbed.
Are they, a big club?
It's a tremendous hotbed of football.
And I think in Newcastle.
I think they deserve the way they follow
in
their team.
In Newcastle. No one argues with that.
But that will grow. Of course it will grow.
But where are they a big club now?
Well, they're making those baby steps.
But where else are
And they're big ripples, making big ripples with those baby steps.
Stop playing to the gallery and try and gain some popularity that you won't have, right?
Are you suggesting that you're not very popular today and I'm more popular than you?
Well, that's fine.
That can't
I'm
be right,
can it?
Be
the case. If we've got a sentimental gang out there, you can be popular that long.
If they meet top six, well, you're going to have to cough up a grand for a charity.
I think they'll meet top six.
If they meet top four,
Jim,
you're really chewing your trophies. Champions
League,
they won't.
Champions, Jim, is it not a game changer then, Champions League next season?
Well, if they get there.
Surely everyone will know them then when they're in Champions League.
Absolutely. But we're talking about today, mate. Not tomorrow. Today.
Well, I think maybe
today's a different day. Tomorrow
we'll find out. We're only 14 games away from finding out. What happened? Did you get chucked out of a nightclub in Spain or something? What an attitude!
Wasn't allowed in.
Back with.
He's too old.
He's got the cheek to be laughing.
Your 100% essential download.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Thanks for listening to Outspoken. Don't forget to leave a 5-star review and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. We'll be back tomorrow.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.